Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today Demetrius Umfroy. Demetrius is a former MLS soccer player, and he's here today to share a little bit about his story. Demetrius, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Matt. I'm excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you here. Before we get going, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I guess I can hop straight into my story of being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. It all kind of started back when I was 18 years old. And my goal growing up was to become a professional soccer player. I'd gone and played through competitive leagues up until 17, 18 years old. And actually at 17, I was offered an opportunity to travel to Portugal and play with Sporting Lisbon. And they're one of the top professional academies in the world. And so I jumped at that opportunity. I said goodbye to my mom and dad. In my head, I was going to be a pro soccer player. And the deal was I had 1 year to basically prove myself. And on my 18th birthday, if I was good enough there and they wanted me, then I would sign a contract on my 18th birthday. So I left across the world and I went to Portugal. And so the first couple of months, I was getting used to the language and getting used to the people, but I started to feel like I was at home and it was starting to reflect in my play. And so a couple months passed by. I want to say it was about 4 months before my 18th birthday. I got called into the front office and they gave me just an update on how I was doing. And I was talking with them and they're just letting me know, you know, Demet, you're doing an awesome job here. We have every intention to sign you on your 18th birthday. We wanted to let you know that you can relay that information to your family. And so I was thrilled. I was so excited. I had left home and it all made sense. Couldn't wait till I turned 18. And so the next couple practices came and the weeks passed by. And I want to say it was another 2 months that went by. I was getting closer and closer to that 18th birthday. And I remember one morning specifically, it was an early morning. I put some water in my face. I was getting ready to go down to breakfast. And, you know, my eyes were a little bit blurry because it was early. And I remember just rubbing my right eye and just feeling like it was a little foggier than normal. But I figured it would kind of subside as I got down to the field. And I didn't notice it was an issue until I got out to the field and I was playing and warming up. And I just couldn't see out of my right eye. It just felt like someone had fogged up your right lens and your glasses, you know, and you just couldn't see. And I had to step off the field. And within a couple of days of just not knowing what was going on and not training, I finally saw a doctor there and they diagnosed me with some sort of illness, some sort of problem. If it was hereditary, that I would go blind. And for me, you know, I was like, in 2 months, I'm going to be 18. I'm going to sign this contract. Like, this isn't part of the plan of why I'm here. Like, this can't be happening. So I told my parents and I flew back to California and they did all the tests, and unfortunately, it was actually just optic neuritis, and it took me a couple months to get back on my feet and feeling good again about my vision, and it finally came back within 8 months, but at that time, I had already turned 18, and the opportunity had passed, and I lost my contract, and I was so, so upset about it, but fortunately, I had been talking with UC Berkeley, and I had been just trying to figure out what I was going to do next if I didn't sign that contract and go play in Portugal, and so I was able to get a scholarship to UC Berkeley for soccer, and that was my path. I was going to get an education, be closer to home, which was nice for mom, but really just get my education and play soccer. So I started doing that and played for the first 3 years, going into my senior year now. This was back in 2010. I was doing really, really well. Was a starter, was playing well, just getting a lot of good game minutes in, and also our team was doing really well. And so at the beginning of my season, I remember going up for a header and I got elbowed in the back, and I just remember feeling like, wow, I was really sore that night. So I had my roommate at the time kind of dig his heels into my back and walk on my back, which is not a good option ever as an athlete if you have trainers. But I did that at a convenience, and I woke up the next morning, and of course I put my socks on and I realized, like, oh my gosh, I pinched a nerve in my back. My left foot was numb. And the bottom of my foot just was completely numb. So I would tie my shoe up extra tight for the next couple of training sessions and ice my back and just hopefully figure out some sort of way of having feeling. I thought it was going to come back, and it didn't come back for like 2 months. And it started to make me pretty nervous. And so I actually saw my regular doctor, and he was like, you need to get an MRI. So I got my MRI, and I was fully expecting them to be telling me that I have a pinched nerve and it was going to be fine. And they sat me down, and then he looked over my MRI results and said, yeah, Demetrius, you have multiple sclerosis. Based on your past history of optic neuritis and this new symptom in your foot, yeah, you definitely have multiple sclerosis. And I, in my head, completely, I went straight to the absolute worst thing that could happen to me. You know, I thought I wasn't going to be able to walk. I thought I was going to deteriorate and be in a wheelchair. And I just went completely negative. And I asked him what I should do. And he just said, you know, the best thing that you could possibly do right now is to mull over these options for a drug therapy and get on something that works for you. And so, you know, my thought process was I need to get on something as soon as possible. You know, as an athlete, like you have an injury, you ice it, you try to rehab as quickly as possible so you can get back out on the field. And so within 2-3 weeks, I was on Copaxone, and that was what I wanted to be on. And I figured I was going to just keep on fighting this as much as I can and get on my treatment and be as healthy as I possibly can. And so I went on the rest of that year taking Copaxone every single day. And we actually went on to win our Pac-10 at the time. Now it's Pac-12, but at the time it was Pac-10. So we won Pac-10 and we went on to make it to the Elite Eight, which is the farthest we've gone as a team. And so we did lose in the Elite Eight, which was a bummer. And that was kind of the end of my college career. But the good thing is that I had a good enough year to where I was invited to the Major League Soccer Combine. And the Combine is, some context behind it is, the top 60 players in the nation come together and play for 4 days in front of all the Major League Soccer coaches. And I had the opportunity to get an invitation to that. And to me, this was like an opportunity to get that moment back that I had lost back when I was 17 years old, going on 18. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can be a pro soccer player. Like, it's right here. And so I trained my butt off. I did everything I could to be ready for that tournament. And in my head, I just kept thinking, like, I'm going to be a first round draft pick. And so I went and played 4 days straight there. And I did really, really well. I remember talking to my agent at the time, like, dude, you are like the talk of the tournament right now. You're doing great. And I was like, heck yes, this is awesome. And so draft day came around. And, you know, between draft days, you know, between drafts in general and between player drafts, like, there's sometimes 5 to 15, 20 minutes of waiting. So I just figured, okay, like, hopefully I go in this first round, like I've been saying. And so the draft starts and 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 20 happens. And I haven't gotten chosen. And there's 3 full rounds that happen. And then it goes into another 3 rounds. And the first round was up. I was freaking out because it had already almost been an hour. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I don't get drafted? You know? And so going in the second round, I was freaking out. The second round happens. And so the first one goes by, not me. Second one doesn't go by, not me. 23, 24, 25. And I'm starting to freak out. And then 26 is called. And then I see Demetrius Humphrey. And like total goosebumps. I was jumping up and down. I was crying and I had finally done it. You know, I'd gotten drafted and it was Toronto FC's first pick. So in a way, I was still sticking to that mentality that I had of getting drafted first in some sense. But it was such a cool experience to be able to get drafted by a team and have that dream finally back in my life. And I was able to achieve that dream. And to me, you know, it finally had come full circle, and persevering and just continuing to not allow what happened to me back when I was 17 affect me in a negative way. It actually was fuel to my fire and helping me persevere and achieve that dream that day. So it was awesome. And I was off to Toronto in a couple of days. And I actually became on that day, I became the first person in Major League Soccer history, I think, with multiple sclerosis. So it was a huge accomplishment for me in that sense. And so I went to Toronto and I played for a year. Had a couple appearances and did well on their reserve team, well enough to solidify a contract with another team, actually. And so, you know, coming back in the off season, I started to think about what I wanted to do with my life. And I did some speaking engagements on behalf of MS, and having that time to learn a little bit more about the disease and having a little bit more of a platform to speak about it. And so that's what I did. I stepped away from soccer and just kind of got my head right and started doing more patient advocates and just meeting people and building my network of people that had MS or were around MS patients and just could understand the things that I was going through. And I think not suppressing it like I had been was really good for me, and just talking about it and making friends. And it helped me get a better mind going into that following year. And I had the opportunity to play with the Filipino national team through my parents. My mom, actually, she is Filipino, so she has both citizenships. And I was able to just go to the Philippines and just experience a different life of soccer, a different angle on soccer. It's not about making money. It's not about any of that. It's more just about representing your country and representing, like, you know, the people that are behind you all the time. You know, I feel like it was a huge thing for me personally, because it was like I was able to play and my grandfather was proud of it. My grandfather always followed my games, but he wasn't a huge soccer fan. But the fact that I was playing for the Filipino national team, my grandmother was just so excited about it. It was just a different type of love for the game. And it was a humbling experience for me to do at the end of that year. And then, so I came back after playing with the Filipino national team and we did really well. And then I started thinking long-term and I was like, okay, at some point I got to finish my degree. And so I came back and finished my final 7 units and I got my degree and I had an opportunity actually to work with GoPro and be a creator for them. Most recently, I actually ended that job this past year, but I ended on a really cool project and the project was working with Real Madrid. It was a Facebook GoPro Real Madrid documentary, an 8-part series. And the idea of it was just to follow and be a part of what it's like to be on Real Madrid, which is the biggest soccer entity in the world. Whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, whether you're a staff member, it was just kind of like a deeper dive into what it's like to be on that team. And it was a huge initiative, one of the biggest that GoPro has ever done. And it did extremely well. And it was just a cool project to kind of come back to, you know, leaving soccer, but then kind of stepping towards it in a different way and being on the other side of the camera was really cool for me because it felt like I still had it in my life. And it led me to the current position that I'm in now, which is the creative director for Adidas and Major League Soccer. Adidas and Major League Soccer have a partnership, and I'm the creative director overseeing the vision of how we're going to grow the soccer culture through America. And it's a really cool opportunity because I'm also able to be back with the MLS, that first team that I kind of had my first experience with the league through them. So it's kind of cool to just see the other side of that and be on the inside now and working with different teams and growing it naturally through America. I feel like back when I started, when I was younger, it wasn't as popular as it is now. And so it's really cool to try to start and grow this initiative through the youth and really kind of have it be organic and natural through the upbringing of the new youth, because essentially growing it from their ages up until now is going to really breed the best players. And so it's an exciting initiative and that's kind of what I'm doing currently. That's my whole story with MS. But yeah, it's also given me a platform too to work together with some amazing outlets like yours here. And really it helps me not have to feel like I'm not able to talk about it in this atmosphere. It's encouraged and it's, and when we do have a platform here to tell our story and really to show that, you know, through, I mean, personally, through like mental perseverance and just having this mentality to not let anything define who you are. Like you essentially define yourself. That's kind of been this mentality that I've lived with my whole life after being diagnosed with it and really just kind of radiating positivity through it.
Demetrius, that was very empowering and inspiring. And there's a bunch of stuff that you mentioned that I want to unpack a little bit because I feel like you hit on some critical points, especially when it comes to adjusting to a new life with a chronic illness and also persevering to stick with your dreams. You mentioned that you had the athlete's mentality. You start experiencing symptoms. Your first was your vision. The second was a foot. But then you said that because you had this athlete's mentality, you had the almost like a plan or a roadmap of how you were going to prepare mentally, rehab physically, and get back on the field. Could you talk a little bit about that athlete's mentality and how it propelled you to stay the course and eventually realize your dream?
Definitely. That athlete's mentality that you're talking about, again, is just kind of falls into this work ethic that I've always had growing up playing soccer. You know, it's kind of like if you have something that's offsetting the way that you're training or the way that you're playing, let's try to attack that head on and see if we can get you back on path. And so when I was diagnosed, I kind of looked at it like this. I figured, you know, this is just a bump in what I need to do to become a pro soccer player. You know, this is just another hurdle I have to get over. And what can I do right now to most effectively attack this and get on something that is going to help me achieve this ultimate dream? And yeah, it was kind of just keeping that in the back of my mind and knowing that, like, I'm not letting this disease, I'm not letting this thing come back in my life and ruin my chances of having that dream because it was so close. Yeah, I want to say it probably was that first symptom that I have and having it being so close to happening really just stuck with me and it haunted me for years, you know, and I think it was one of those things that knowing that if I was able to get on a drug therapy and get on some sort of dietary regimen that was helpful for me, that was going to help me mentally know that nothing could get in my way no matter what. So I think that helped me moving forward and going into that combine, which essentially is your tryout, and really keeping my head steady and making sure that I was doing everything that I possibly could to control what I could control, you know, and then whatever else happened beyond that was kind of fate.
When you get to the combine, I imagine it's going to be an incredibly stressful environment because you're trying to reach that ultimate goal. Are the MLS teams going through your medical records and trying to figure out whether or not somebody with MS could reach that next level?
Yeah. So with every team, you have a physical that you have to have, and you have to disclose any sort of medical condition that you may have. And so when I brought up that I had multiple sclerosis, to them, they were very curious about how it's affected me and how they thought it could affect me moving forward. So when I was actually picked up by Toronto, this was a red flag. They actually didn't know about it, which in fairness, we did let them know and the league let them know, but I think maybe it might have slipped past some of the medical team there. And so for a little bit of time, they were concerned about how it was going to affect me moving forward. And I think it was one of those things. It's a little bit of a risk that you take, but I think making sure that you're checking in and doing those things to help assure people that you're going to be okay, at least doing the things that you can do to be okay by getting on a drug therapy and checking in with your neurologist and eating and sleeping, getting the right things in your body, that, you know, it can be manageable as long as, you know, we're keeping that communication going. So it was at first a little bit of a setback, I guess, for them, but I was able to push through that and show them that like nothing was going to stop me from playing.
What was that moment like when you finally stepped on that major league field for the first time, knowing that you had overcome every obstacle that you had faced along the way?
For me, stepping on that field was surreal. I remember getting my name called and then subbing on and taking those first couple steps, and gosh, it's like giving me goosebumps now. You know, it was just such an amazing feeling because I had never been able to do that. I played in, you know, hundreds of games, but never in the capacity of being a professional soccer player. And what it meant to me was that I could achieve anything no matter what, with all the setbacks that I had in my life, with everything that was trying to prevent me from achieving this and ripping it away from me. Keeping that mentality and keeping that drive and that main goal in my life and not letting anything get in the way of it was just kind of like my shining star, and knowing that that moment was going to happen at some point. And so to live it out and feel it in real life was amazing.
Now, sometimes when you're diagnosed with something like MS, you feel like all your dreams are shattered. But not only did you achieve your athletic dream, you also went back to school and are currently thriving as a professional, you know, not only online with all the videos, but with the work that you're doing with Adidas. People that are listening at home that are having similar challenges that maybe still have a few credits left to finish their degree or nervous about getting back in the workforce, could you talk a little bit about that experience and what it's meant to you to have a job and to continue being a success professionally after being diagnosed?
Yeah. And so first and foremost, I understand that not everybody's the same, you know, and so there are multiple people out there that may not physically be able to do some of the stuff that I can do. So I'm very, very thankful for that. But in having my degree and being able to get things that I think would help long term, that helped me feel confident about stepping into the current job that I have. And definitely it took me some time to adjust, you know, in being an athlete, an MS patient, there's definitely different feelings that I do have because, you know, you can't always really relate to feeling as exhausted as another person. You know, sometimes people are frustrated about working too many hours, and I'm like, oh, if you only knew sometimes like how tired we feel too, you know, and I think those to me are similar to these roadblocks, similar to like what I had when I was 17. You know, there are these just little roadblocks that I have to get over, little hurdles that just push me that much more to be better at what I'm doing. And so really, I guess having the confidence and almost just wanting to prove my disease wrong and proving any naysayers that had about me being able to get a job after being an athlete, I think it's just helped again to just fuel that fire and prove them wrong. And also do it for myself to prove that I can do it. So I think my advice to people that are hesitant about it or thinking about getting back into the workforce but not sure about it, I feel like my initial experience with working with people, they're always very receptive and I've never had to suppress anything about it. But also, I guess what it's helped me to understand and what I feel like it can help other people to understand is that if they put their mind to it, they can definitely do it. They have to put their mind to it and just kind of commit to it. But really, you can prove to yourself that anything's possible with that mental power, you know. And for me, it's really helped me understand that I am more than an athlete. I am more than an MS patient. I can work a professional job and do a damn good job at it. And to understand that we're multifaceted and know that we can do that is a testament to how strong of individuals we've become with our MS journeys.
Demetrius, you've mentioned a couple of times that diet and exercise have been a big part of your success. I know that living with a chronic illness, it's often hard to get back into an exercise routine, or maybe I'm afraid to get back into an exercise routine and maintaining a diet, you know, maybe I don't have the discipline to do as good as I should. Do you have any advice for maybe people like me that could use a little help in the areas of diet and fitness?
Of course. And look, I'm not perfect either. We have my cheat days too. So I totally understand where you're coming from and everybody's different. You know, I can't say that my diet will work for everyone else, but mainly trying to eat healthy has been a big thing for me and getting on a vitamin regimen that was approved and worked with and created by my doctor was helpful too. And the biggest thing that's helped me so far is not only trying to eat healthy, but keeping a food journal. And the food journal kind of is like a way for me to gauge how food makes me feel. And when I first was diagnosed, I created this food journal that was basically about how my body reacted when I had certain foods. So it was like, how did I feel when I had my coffee with milk versus when I had it with no milk or when I had it with almond milk? And it was just very tailored to my own personal body. It helped to wean out what made me feel a little bit more sluggish or made me feel a little bit more tired or helped me understand if there weren't any effects at all. But again, I would definitely encourage you to at least try it out and see if there's a way to tailor a diet that directly works for you. And the other thing that was helpful, non-diet related, but more symptom related, what I started to do was create like a symptom journal too. And this idea of a symptom journal helped me understand if it was something that was related to eating or if it was something that was related to like my stress levels or anything. So if I had, for example, when I was in Toronto, I had this problem with me stumbling and fumbling for words. You know, I would stumble for words and I just couldn't get it out. I would be like, you know, I really want to have this piece of potato or something like that. And I'm like, piece of potato, I meant to say like this piece of chocolate, but I would always forget the word and it would be like a really random word at times. Like, I think one time I was talking about a penguin or something when I really meant to say like chocolate. And it was just like such a random thing that happened. And it happened so many times where even my girlfriend was like, something seems a little bit off. And so I did like a 24-hour reverse and then kind of kept it 24 hours beyond after I discovered it. And I just, I wanted to gauge like what happened in my life. Was I getting enough sleep that night? Did I, was I overly stressed? Did I get hurt? Did I get elbowed or whatever? You know, anything that could potentially cause something like that to happen. And so when it happened again, I realized that it was totally stress related because I was like, oh my gosh, remember back in February, I had a similar reaction when I was overly stressed. And so maybe I need to try to de-stress because I'll start to fumble for words because that's what happens when I get over, you know. So it was a way to manage and keep track. And also, because, you know, as you know, like if you start to go on through your life and you had the symptom and you kind of think back, like, when the heck did I have that again? I remember it was like a couple months ago, but I don't remember what foot it was in. If it was my left side or my right side. So it was really helpful for that too. And I think, again, it goes back to that whole idea that everyone's MS is different. Everyone's MS is very personalized and individualized. And it's, you know, we're all like snowflakes. We're all thumbprints. You know, it's not every single, not one is replicated by another. And so I think that is on us as MS patients to figure out what works best for our individual self. And that goes along with the drug therapy too, and working with your neurologist and making sure that whatever's kind of working with them, because they could also say stuff where you're like, hey, hold on a second, like, this isn't working for me, you know, and it might be working with your other five patients, but it's not working for me. And so I think having that sort of conversation, that open door to say things like that, has really been helpful too. So it's a three-pronged plan that I've had with diet, fitness, and kind of that open communication with the neurologist.
We're talking to Demetrius Umfroy, former Major League Soccer player. Demetrius, I understand you have a nonprofit organization. Could you let my audience know a little bit about that?
My nonprofit organization is called WeHeartHealth.org. The idea behind the organization was to create something that was for multiple sclerosis patients, but mainly for understanding how to live a healthier lifestyle. So it's not saying get on a drug therapy, or it's not saying you need to be talking to your doctors or anything, because that is already kind of told to a lot of MS patients, but it's really more of a website and organization where people can come and learn different ways to live healthier lifestyles and more catered to the MS patient. But again, there is no direct roadmap or direct way that MS patients should live. But I figured that it would be helpful to have a hub for that. So that's really the idea behind it. But definitely it's something that has helped me to just give back and show what either I'm personally doing or working with other nutritionists to try to cater to the MS patient that may not be as active, may not be able to be as active as other patients. So I feel like it's there for you guys to check out if you guys need it. It's WeHeartHealth.org. And I look forward to anybody chiming in there if they have any ideas for it too. You know, we're definitely open to that.
And we'll make sure we share all the links and resources on our podcast notes. Demetrius, as we're getting towards the end of the show here, do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share?
My closing thoughts would be to stay positive and to keep that mentality. Take out a goal in your life and really use that as your shining star, your North Star, to achieve that. I think for me personally, being a professional soccer player has always been something that has helped steer me back on the path whenever I've gotten shifted off a little bit, or if I've hit a bump in the road or anything that's deviated me from that path. I've always been able to think of a big picture of what I want to achieve. And sometimes it might not be possible to achieve that. You know, right now, if I wanted to be a pro soccer player again, I probably wouldn't be able to, but there's been ways to keep soccer in my life. And that's what's most important to me. And I've been able to do that in different ways. And currently with my position, just having that be my North Star of having soccer in my life as my main goal has really helped me. So I think that's my biggest thing. I feel like just keep that goal for you and don't let anybody or anything get in your way when you want to achieve that. Hopefully I've been helpful. But again, if you guys have any questions or anything, don't ever hesitate to reach out on social media. And I'm very responsive. I would love to always be connected with MS patients or friends or family of MS patients. And I love to keep my network open and talk to as many people as I possibly can.
Demetrius, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being an inspiration, not only to me, but to the entire MS community. If somebody wanted to follow you on social media, how could they find you?
So you guys can definitely find me on Instagram at Demet, just simple at Demet, D-E-M-I-T. And on Twitter is at Demet Umfroy. And hopefully it'll be posted here. But if that fails and you can't find me there, if you guys go to WeHeartHealth.org, all my information should be on there too. And please reach out if you guys have any questions or you guys want to chat. I'm always open to just talking to people about it and building that network of MS patients or MS friends, family. You know, I love to have resources and just be a helping hand if anyone needs it. So don't hesitate to reach out.
Well, Demetrius, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. We've really appreciated you sharing your story and inspiration and hope for us all. I hope you keep up the great work with your patient advocacy, and we wish you continued success here in the future.
Thank you very much. And honestly, it's people and groups like the Patient Activation Network and just things that you've started that really help me get through things like this. And so I appreciate everything that you guys do on your end, and I will definitely be moving forward and following you guys. So thanks again, Matt.
He's Demetrius Umfroy, former Major League Soccer player and patient advocate. I'm Matt Cavallo. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.